Assemble. Great set of talks this morning. I'm very honored to be part of this this group. Our presentation is one that relates to dissemination and implementation and evaluation of a promising curriculum called Native Stand. And Native Stand is a proven, effective, evidence-based sex ed curriculum. And as you're aware, there are many curriculums that are available, things that sit on the shelf. Often we know and spend considerable time demonstrating effectiveness of interventions, and yet they don't go anywhere. And this project is designed to demonstrate scalability, that is, move this out and get it into use in Indian Country, and also to evaluate its effectiveness. The research is funded by the CDC. We're one of 26 federally funded prevention research centers in the Prevention Research Center Network. And we're located in Portland, Oregon. And our group, in terms of presenting this research today, has no financial interest or other personal conflicts of interest to report. Well, as you know, in Indian Country, tribal and community leaders are keenly aware of the challenges faced by their teens. Even though there have been improvements in screening for sexually transmitted illnesses, reductions in rates of early pregnancy, to some degree, some improvements in reducing alcohol and drug abuse, and also reducing violence, the gains that we've seen in Indian Country are much smaller than those enjoyed by other subgroups in the United States. And so this remains an important issue. And of course, youth are the most important resource of any tribe in terms of preserving culture and traditions. And so as we work with the tribes in partnership with the Northwest Portland Area Indian Health Board, we see our challenge as really improving community readiness to take on these effective programs and interventions, and to make community leaders aware of these interventions and bring them forward so that we can work together to implement them in the community. So this issue is one that I think many of us face as public health professionals, and not unusual, but what we don't know much about is the ability to do this in Indian Country. Because of the unique set of sovereign nations, tribal organizations, aspects of barriers, historical trauma, we think that the ability to bring interventions to Indian Country and to have them implemented and adopted may be different than in other parts of our society. Native Stand, as I mentioned, is a proven intervention. This was developed originally, as I'll explain in a moment, for rural youth teens in Georgia. And this has been adapted by the National Coalition of STD Directors, along with the Indian Health Service and others. And this is available online. And if you go to this resource, it's much like other resources where the facilitator's manual, the teacher's guide, resources are posted online, yet people don't really access them. People don't pull them down and use them, as far as we know. And for you, if you're interested in learning more about Native Stand, and in the back, we've have copies of our flyer that are on the back table for you, you can go to this resource and see it. It was originally developed by Mike Smith, and then it was adapted with considerable effort by the Indian Health Service STD office, in particular Lori DiRavello and Scott Tulloch invested a lot of time and effort into improving the activities involved in this interactive program and evaluating it in four Bureau of Indian Education schools And we used it with great success in Fort Hall with the Shoshone and Bannock tribes in Idaho. Native Stand consists of 29 90-minute sessions that are organized around building capacities in youth and empowering them to develop a strong sense of cultural identity. We also spend considerable time developing a base for honoring diversity and respecting traditions, thinking about healthy relationships and healthy decision-making, negotiation and refusal skills, decision-making, and parts on being a peer educator. And all of this comes along in addition to providing information on STIs, intimate partner violence, substance abuse, alcohol, tobacco, and drugs. And so these aspects that I've listed here represent really more the essential base that teens receive when they're taking this curriculum. As we worked in the Hay Project, which was the pilot for this work at Fort Hall, we found that this curriculum was particularly effective at getting youth to move to be peer educators themselves. Not only did they sit in the classroom sessions and learn about healthy behaviors, ways to reduce risky behaviors, but they themselves took the initiative to do filmmaking and create messages for other youth, and these are posted on the internet. Unfortunately, these links don't work in this room here today, but can look for Hay Project One on Facebook and find a number of videos produced by the youth. And among them is a terrific video called No Word for Meth. And No Word is an interesting video where the students shot scenes from around their reservation community, such as horses, buffalo, water, and they give the Indian word for that that view. And then as they move forward, they come to the conclusion that there is no word in their language for methamphetamine. Two Worlds is a terrific video that shows, for example, the stresses that youth feel by living and straddling two worlds, and showing juxtaposed young woman dancing in regalia with beautiful beaded moccasins and watching a young man dribble a basketball in his basketball shoes between his legs. And you can see the others here, too. All of them are adapted from the things that they learned in the curriculum and shared together with others on the web. So a powerful way to exchange information. As I mentioned, our work really is in the area of dissemination and implementation. And this is a new branch of science. D&I, or dissemination and implementation, is something that relates to scaling up an intervention, moving it out, disseminating it, get the innovation out to others for use. And in our work, we'll market via our networks of reservation and Indian urban health clinics the availability of training. And we'll also support the implementation by community sites using mini grants. These would be two-year capacity building grants, 5,000 each of 2 years. And we're also providing hands-on training. And in the back, you'll see a postcard reminder for our training. Every summer, we offer the Summer Research Training Institute for American Indian and Alaska Native Professionals. And we're devoting 1 week of the training to training health educators on Native Stand this year. So expenses are paid for this, and there's an application process, and this is described both in the flyer and on the postcard on the back table, and you'll find those things there if you're interested. As we market this training, we're hopeful that we can evaluate its penetration to people around the country. So as people become aware of the training, as they make decisions about whether or not they choose to send a representative, we'll be calling and evaluating this this dissemination work and our own marketing efforts in the coming months. For those applicants who come to Portland, they'll spend a week and they'll learn the Native Stand curriculum in morning training sessions, and then in the afternoon they'll actually practice with youth at the Thrive Conference, which is also held in Portland at that time. Of course, they'll be learning other aspects because this is a research project on evaluation process and human subjects protections and so on. We hope that each individual will leave with the action plan for implementation in their home community, and we'll be developing that along the way. We'll randomize sites to two arms. One is a passive arm or usual treatment where individuals will receive training at the Summer Institute. They'll develop their action plan, receive the implementation funding. Those individuals can call us and we'll provide technical support as we would in any situation where we're training, sort of a train-the-trainer approach in the conventional way. The other individuals will receive more intensive support in the active arm. And in that arm, they'll still have the Summer Institute training and the action plan, but coaches and others will be calling and working with them closely to implement in their communities. And we are going to be creating teleconference exchanges on a monthly basis and collaborative learning groups so that tribes can help each other. So coaches then are grown within this system. The passive arm participants at the end of the year will be able to cross over into this collaborative learning model. So we don't deny anybody that experience, but we are asking in terms of the initial participation to wait 1 year in that particular arm. The outcomes we'll be measuring are completion of the training, development of an action plan, accessing technical support, participation in our collaborative learning groups, and delivery of the curriculum, at least 25% of the lessons at the end of the first year. We'll evaluate our program using the REAIM framework, which stands for reach, efficacy or effectiveness, adoption, implementation, and maintenance. And this, it was developed by Glasgow and others. This kind of framework will help us to evaluate the penetration of Native Stand in Indian Country. And in terms of reach, we'll be looking at the number and proportion of health educators and organizations trained, the youth receiving the intervention. In terms of effectiveness, we'll be doing pre- and post-tests and looking at knowledge, attitudes, and beliefs of the youth, looking to see those youth who are reporting, say, use of condoms or getting screened for STIs. Adoption, which is the number, proportions, and representativeness of the organizations offering Native Stand through our program. Implementation, consistency of the delivery, fidelity, time and cost of the program, and maintenance, finally, which is really the sustainability of our intervention, looking to see perhaps how institutions have adapted and changed their ways to keep the program going. For example, at Fort Hall, the Shoshone and Bannock tribes found that this was an important curriculum to continue at the tribal high school, and there they supported a teacher to deliver this program for at least 2 years. And that's the type of change we're looking to see with maintenance. So overall, we hope over 5 years, to train 50 health educators from tribes and tribal organizations. This approach will snowball. There'll be new individuals, I think, who come forward beyond the 50 health educators who can learn through webinars and other resources that we develop. If we keep adding new youth at 25 youth per year at each site, we have the potential to reach well over 3,000 total youth. Again, that's the maximum potential. Our pre- and post data that we've seen in previous studies show increased condom use at time of first sexual intercourse and through sexual activities. We see increases in STI screening. interesting information is collected on violence and bullying, and we also have seen some reductions in reports of intimate partner violence, and we'll be collecting information on suicide ideation. This is our team. In our campus community partnership, we work with a lot of individuals. Tom Becker is the PI of our Prevention Research Center, familiar to many of you. Ben Christensen has worked at Fort Hall with us as a teacher and will be an instructor of the health educators. Stephanie Craig-Rushing is an important collaborator in the design that I showed today. She is expert in these areas of sex ed with Native communities and works at the Northwest Portland Area and in Health Board, as does Nicole Hildebrandt. Wynn Norton is from the University of Alabama at Birmingham and has helped us with our dissemination and implementation design evaluation. Amanda works at Fort Hall, is also an instructor, and Ashley Thomas and Tasha Zabak are members of our PRC evaluation group. If you'd like more information, again, find the flyers in the back, and I think I have time for a couple of questions.